नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Text Number 8. This chapter is entitled as Brahma's Prayers to Lord Krishna. Te Chiyadvaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tatenu kampam su sumikshamano, bhunjan evatma kritam vipakam, radvag vapurbhir vidadhan namaste, jive tayo muktipade sadhayavak. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. Hare Krishna. I'm not qualified to speak on this verse, but because it was the part of our regular reading and I happened to give class, if there was a choice, I would have not spoken on this verse. Neither I am qualified to hear, to speak on this verse, nor I am qualified to hear on this verse. Because this verse is the landmark of devotional service. If you want to know somebody who is the greatest of the devotee, it's easier to glorify Krishna's pastimes, to very analytically explain the beautiful stories of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's quite easy to do that. But here, Brahmaji, as we were discussing yesterday, after speaking about Krishna's unlimited qualities and the reason for why Krishna comes to this earthly planet, once establishing that, how Krishna is the well-wisher of all the living entities, then Brahmaji is explaining Tatte, therefore, Tatte nu kampa, therefore, whatever happens in one's life, if one is able to tolerate that, then such a personality becomes a rightful heir to attain Krishna's abode. So that is the landmark before entering into the spiritual world. Unless we go through this, in one sense it is not possible to attain Krishna's abode. Only if Krishna specially arranges to somebody who has not gone through these difficulties, he may allow them to go back to the spiritual world. But in general case, if we see the whole Srimad Bhagavatam or the history of the devotees, those who are sufficiently purified, only they are allowed to go back to the spiritual world. When we read this verse, one may feel, okay, I tolerate so many miseries. I can tolerate the misery of my passing of my relatives. I can tolerate the physical pain which I encounter. Sometimes, hard-heartedness may be taken as tolerating suffering. Krishna is not speaking about, Brahmaji is not speaking about this. Hard-heartedness is not the sign of being a great devotee. This is not what Lord Brahmaji is speaking. The suffering is there. It is not a reality. One actually is going through the suffering. The pain is there. But how does it tolerate it? That is most important. So from very beginning, from the first canto till the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are so many stories of the great devotees of the Lord, how they handle different situations. One from the mind, one from the body, and from the words also. In the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna asked that question to the Supreme Lord, how do I recognize, what is that verse? Sita Prajnasya Ka Bhasha Samadhistasya Keshava. Ki, my dear Lord, how do I understand who is Sita Prajna? How does he talk? How does he speak? And Krishna, Srila Baldeva Vidyabhushan explains, the next few verses he analyzes, how does he speak? And how does Krishna begin? He does not talk about he is well versed with the Shastra. He does not talk about how he can glorify me, about my pastimes. But Krishna begins by saying, Dukheshu anudvignamana sukeshu vigataspraha vitaraga bhaya krodha stita dhir muniruchyate. And Srila Baldeva Vidyabhushan explains, when the miseries comes to him, when there is suffering, he says, my dear Lord, this suffering is caused because of my providence, because of my prarabdha karma. He does not become angry with others. And if there is enjoyment, he also considers that as part of his prarabdha karma. He does not try to pamper somebody. And then, in this way, such a personality becomes sthitadhi. He becomes a muni, a controller of his senses. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada, in the Krishna book, he gave that famous quotation. One's greatness is estimated by how he can tolerate the provoking situation. That is the famous statement Srila Prabhupada gave. And therefore we read in the first cant of the Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning with the devotees like Bhishma. When Bhishma Dev was about to pass, he was about to leave this world, and then Lord Krishna arranged. He fully decorated himself very nicely, and he also asked the Pandavas to decorate themselves very beautifully. Now you don't go to somebody who is about to pass very nicely decorated. But Krishna went there along with the Pandavas, very beautifully decorated. When Bhishma Dev saw all the Pandavas and the Supreme Lord, there were tears in his eyes. And he started remembering all the difficulties and troubles encountered by the Pandavas. And he was wondering how is this could happen to these great people, the son of religious personified, the great mace fighter Bhima, the great Gandhiya welder Arjuna. And over and above all, they had the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But still they suffered so much. He didn't say, oh, Krishna is less powerful. There was a philosopher, when he endured his son's suffering, when he saw his son died because of early old age. He died when he was 14 years old. He said, God is merciful but not powerful. He wants to help us but he can't. He is helpless. He did not change the philosophy. What did Bhishma say? He said, that means it was all the time factor. And the acharyas explained, time factor means it was the wish of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He could have averted the suffering, but Krishna allowed them to suffer. That was the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then again, we read, when Parikshit Maharaj saw that white lotus-like bull and mother cow being tortured by a Shudra, and Parikshit Maharaj came down wanting to punish this Shudra, and he inquired from bull and cow, what is the cause of your suffering? And they said, it is very difficult to ascertain. The personification of bull said, it is very difficult to ascertain the cause of suffering. Some say it is one's own self. Some say because of some higher power. Some say because of something else. And they said, you are the king. So therefore, you only ascertain what is the cause of our suffering. And Parikshit Maharaj, what was his answer? He said, you must be the personification of religion, because you understand when you recognize the perpetrator. If somebody does something wrong to you and you recognize him, a recognition of that person that he is the cause of my suffering also causes suffering to you. Simply by recognizing the perpetrator, you are also entitled to the same punishment as the perpetrator. That is the law of karma. And therefore you are not speaking about it. Srila Prabhupada explains elsewhere, do not become angry to the instrument of your karma. You will simply further complicate your karma. Then again, in the 8th chant of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Bali Maharaj had offered everything, now he was directly engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna, the way he was handling Bali Maharaj, it was very, very gross and cruel from a materialistic point of view. Not only Krishna took everything away from Bali Maharaj, and top of that, the Lord was insulting him in the presence of all of his people, in the presence of his grandfather Prahlad Maharaj, in front of his wife and all the demigods. And Bali Maharaj makes a comment. He says, my dear Lord, sometime the parents, the father, mother, they also award punishment just to rectify. But they never punish somebody like this. But because this punishment is coming from you, I take it as the greatest reward for me. And Srila Prabhupada writes in that commentary that the punishment of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be compared even to the gift, the greatest gift offered by one's father, mother, brother or a friend. Even the punishment of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One may speak this philosophy, but when actually something happens in our life, and the first question we raise, why me? Recently again, one more devotee's wife, she's also kind of a devotee, she also got some kind of, not exactly a cancer, but incurable disease, which leads to, you know, the eventuality of death. And the first question was, why me? Why this is happening to me? And she was telling to some of the devotees, it is very difficult not to object. So therefore, the word Atma Nikshepa in the Sharanagati, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was speaking to Rupa Goswami, he speaks about Atma Nikshepa. Akshepa means to throw away or go away from the shelter. And Nikshepa means to throw in the feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if there is an objection on the part of the practicing devotee, then it simply further complicates his life. So Bali Maharaj, when he saw from the materialistic point of view, even from a logical point of view, it was complete injustice on the part of the Supreme Lord. But he said, no, this is the highest reward you are offering to me. And therefore, again in the 11th cant of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna personally spoke the story of Avanti Brahman. And therein Avanti Brahman has a different perception. He has a different outlook for the suffering. Different from Lord Brahma. In one sense, the outlook shown by Avanti Brahman is much higher than this one. And therefore Lord Krishna personally quotes this story. And Lord begins telling this story to Uddhava. He says, even the most intelligent person, even the most sober person, when he is insulted by most foolish person, still it hurts. Just see the comparison made by the Lord. If some foolish person is there and is insulted by a foolish person, if he is becoming angry, that is quite common. But an intelligent person, a sober person, when a foolish person is insulted, then what happens? Still there is a disturbance. And therefore, I quote you a story of Avanti Brahman, how he handled everything in his life. When Avanti Brahman was being tortured, in fact, he was simply ridiculed to such an extent where people were passing urine on his head, they were spitting on his head, they were passing urine on his food. He could have cursed them, saying that, "You fools, you are doing that, I curse you that your mother may die." He didn't curse. Rather, he realized that is the providence. It's my providence. But beyond that, Avanti Brahman explained, and Lord Krishna explained, that he started to sing this song. And that is the beginning of his song. What is that song? Nayam janome sukadukka hetur, na devatatma na graha karmakala. And what is that? Samsara manam param karanam amananti samsara chakram parivartayetam. Such a conviction he had, he said, "My dear," he was convincing himself, that nobody, even karma is not the cause. Even though the Shastra says, karma, graha, kala, higher beings like demigods, they are cause of our suffering. But he had the guts to contradict all of their statements, and he was right. Therefore, devotional service is not technical. Shastras, sometimes they speak the technicalities of the reality. But devotional service can contradict this and go beyond the technicalities of the scriptural understanding. So by the strong conviction in the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what did Avanti Brahmana say? He said, "My dear mind, oh my dear soul," he convinced himself, "nobody is the cause of my suffering. It is my own mind." And he gives so many reasons. So therefore, the understanding of Avanti Brahmana was much greater and higher, and therefore Lord Krishna personally quoted that story. Because a Kanishtha devotee, an aspiring devotee, one time Srila Prabhupada was discussing similar to this. And Satsvarup Maharaj made the point, "We devotees," and Prabhupada shot him back, "You devotee, you are not a devotee. Devotee, Vaishnava means very high thing. Being a Vaishnava is not an ordinary thing." So therefore, in the aspiring stage of our devotional service, even though it is clearly established technically that we don't suffer our karma, Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu makes it very clear how devotees don't suffer. But to accept that I'm a devotee itself is an arrogance. So therefore a devotee, a practicing devotee of the Lord, whatever suffering is coming to him, how does he take it? He takes it as his prarabdha karma. I'm still suffering the remnants of my previous karma. Because I have not taken complete shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, still I have to suffer. And that consciousness of a devotee is so pleasing to the Lord. And then Krishna directly interferes in the life of such a devotee. He directly interferes in the life of such a devotee. And therefore Parikshit Maharaj, another example. Now everybody, the acharyas, the shastras, everybody knows it was not the fault of Parikshit Maharaj to put that snake in the neck of that Brahmana boy. It was a divine arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But how did Parikshit Maharaj take it? Parikshit Maharaj said, "The curse of a Brahmana boy is caused by Krishna, because he was very much in favor of my great-grandfathers or grandfathers in the form of Pandavas. And the Lord saw my attachment to my family." He was not attached. He said, "I'm attached to my family members, and therefore the Lord felt that I can never be detached from my family members unless there is a principle of fear." And therefore the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared in the Dvijashapa Rupa. He has come in the form of the curse of a Brahmana so that my attachment to my family can be removed by the principle of fear. And therefore, Parikshit Maharaj, when he asked this question, what one is supposed to do at the time of death? And Shukadeva Goswami explained, one who is fearful of death, he should hear about Krishna. He should chant about Krishna. So justly, he didn't just say that I am a great devotee of the Lord. I can handle it. I can tolerate it. It is all the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No. He said, because of my attachment, he found mistake in his own behavior. And therefore, Krishna is so kind to remove this attachment to my family, he has given me curse. Same thing in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. When Maharaj Chitraketu was cursed by Mother Parvati wrongly. It's very interesting to read that part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Up until Chitraketu Maharaj came down to clarify the matter with Mother Parvati, Prabhupada talks about, you know, he says, you know, he should have not done. He was too arrogant in this regard to speak like that. That is, the commentary is given based upon the present situation where Chitraketu Maharaj is behaving arrogantly, apparently. But when he came down, and when Mother Parvati already cursed him, that was a very terrible curse for a small offense made by Chitraketu Maharaj. The curse to become a Brahma Rakshas is a big curse. But he came down without any fear, folding his hand. He made it very clear to Mother Parvati, it was not my desire or intention to ridicule or offend Lord Shiva. I was simply wonderstruck. And since you have cursed, I will accept it. And I consider it to be the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You and me are all controlled by the Supreme Lord. So therefore, my Mother Parvati, I don't beg pardon to be freed from this curse. Rather, I simply beg pardon from you. If you think that I have offended you, that was not my intention. In that regard, if you have considered that I have offended, please forgive me. But I don't request you to free me from the curse. Just see the difference. And Chitraketu Maharaj folded his hands and went into his plane. He decided to accept her curse. He had the power not to accept her curse. But he decided to accept that curse. He landed on his plane. And he went and then he became a demon. And seeing this greatness, Lord Shiva became so fascinated. These two verses are the favorite verses of Srila Prabhupada. Tattenukampa, I think he has quoted at least 94 times in his purport. In different parts of books, he has quoted at least 94 times. And then half verse, Tattenukampa, unlimited times. And connecting to that verse is also Narayana Pura Sarve Kutashtana Bhibhyati. In that verse, where Lord Shiva spoke to Mother Parvati, Narayana Pura Sarve Kutashtana Bhibhyati, Prabhupada quotes this verse, Tattenu Kampasa Samikshamano. So by seeing the greatness of Chitraketu Maharaj, what did Lord Shiva say? He glorified, Mother Parvati, you think you are beautiful. In fact, he addressed her as the personality with beautiful face. But there was sarcasm involved in that. There was a joke involved in that. He said, your beauty compared to the beauty of Chitraketu Maharaj is insignificant. Just see the beauty of Maharaj Chitraketu. Even though he is cursed wrongly, how does he take it? He takes it very lightly. He does not consider it very seriously. He considers that to be part of the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, never ever deal or handle wrongly with the devotees of Lord Narayan. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains again. He said that was again the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead because Maharaj Chitraketu was enjoying. His enjoyment was completely conscious of Krishna. Now, it never happens like that. If there is full material enjoyment, you cannot remember Krishna. It is not possible. Mother Kunti proves this fact. Therefore, it is explained, Narad Muni, when he cursed Nalakuvar and Manigriva, why did he curse them? He said, poverty forces one to at least sometime remember God. Because poverty does not allow any sense enjoyment, naturally one becomes lean and thin. So because of that poverty, he also gets the benefit of performing tapasya, forced tapasya. And sometime he can easily remember God. And it's easier for the saintly people to approach such poverty-stricken people. Therefore, the English quotation is there. Anybody can handle adverse situation, give him power. Then we will see his character. It's very difficult. So therefore, even Kunti proves this fact. But Chitraketu Maharaj was completely extraordinary. He was enjoying unlimited sense gratification with the women in the Vidyadhar planet. They are the most beautiful. Now, here if you have some association of opposite sex, then one cannot chant the holy name of the Lord. Not possible to remember Krishna. One time Rudanand Maharaj was explaining in one of his lecture, he said, if a householder, one who's attached to family life, he comes in the presence of his beautiful wife. He said, how is it possible for him to remember and chant the names of Lord Gaura? Very difficult. They have to strive very hard. Even when we are not with the object of the sense gratification, the brahmacharis, they have the trouble to chant the names of Lord Krishna. So both parties have a problem. But here Chitraketu Maharaj, what was his consciousness? Prabhupada explains, even though he was surrounded by the Vidyadhar woman, unlimited sense gratification was there, but he was constantly remembering Lord Krishna. Quite an amazing act on the part of Chitraketu Maharaj. But still, the Lord considered that was not sufficient. And therefore, it was all arranged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead so that Parvati should curse him and so that he can immediately go back to the spiritual world. So therefore, justifying that I can handle sense gratification and still remember Krishna is not approved by Krishna himself. One can arrange one's situation in such a way that surrounded by sense gratification and then try to remember Krishna, but Krishna does not approve it. And therefore, Krishna puts his devotees in such a situation where he's forced to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the same part of the pastimes of Chitraketu Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada explains, material world is like a salt mine. When you are pushed in a salt mine, what do you find there? Only salt. Of course, even if you are taken to the gold mine, one of the greatest catastrophe takes in the gold mine is landsliding. And hundreds of people die. So either it is a gold mine or a salt mine, there is always risk of dying. So when something, this kind of disaster happens in the life of a devotee, when there is a misery, then he becomes the object of compassion of other devotees also. Just like, you know, we were discussing about our Stok Krishna Prabhu. His situation is becoming so deteriorated. It's like question of 1 or 2 months. And now because his situation is deteriorating, but because he is exhibiting strong conviction, still he smiles the way he used to smile when he was in the Brahmacharya ashram. No change. He continued to smile like that, he continues to speak like that. And because he has taken it so nicely, you know, he has become object of everybody's affection and love. And before I came here, Giriraj Maharaj wrote a letter to me asking to send it to him. And he said, I want to speak to him. Chandramani Maharaj wrote to him. And almost every third or fourth day, you know, his spiritual master Radhanand Maharaj calls him from different place. He calls him from Italy, he calls him from Ukraine, he calls him from Russia. And he said, it is worth it. Otherwise, where was the chance? He says, it's worth it. Where was the chance that your guru, you know, he's somewhere else in the world and he's calling you regularly and talking to you. He said it's worth it. And then he makes other devotees also to speak to him. Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj speaking, the Russian president was speaking. So wherever he goes, whichever part of the place he is speaking to him, he also makes other devotees to speak to him. He's so happy. He said, it's worth it. Of course, we may not pray like that because we are still scared that if it happens like that, then what will happen? So the point is, when something happens in somebody's life and if you take it nicely, then you become object of everybody's love and affection. Parikshit Maharaj. When Parikshit Maharaj exhibited this character, he said, what is my quality? I'm not a devotee. I'm simply a relative of a devotee. And Prabhupada writes there, even if you're a relative of a devotee like Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu, still Lord Krishna benedicted Hiranyakashipu simply because he had a connection with Prahlad Maharaj. He said, just see, he was a demon, but still Krishna benedicted him. So Parikshit Maharaj was thinking like that. And then he said, Dvijashvaparupa, Krishna has appeared in the form of a Dvijashvaparupa. And by seeing his disposition, what the demigods did? Immediately the demigods showered flowers and they played all the drums and musical instruments. So Prabhupada explains in another place elsewhere, that when your goal is to attain spiritual perfection, the demigods create all the facilities. Okay, we will facilitate you. Because they realize that he is not going to attack on our position. His goal is what? Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. And that is their goal. Dhanam, janam and sundaris. And position. So when we are in the path of devotional service, we aspire for position and prestige. Then demigod feel that he is after us. And in the 11th canto, it is explained that demigods create obstacle on the path of such a devotee. They create an obstacle. But if you aspire for pure devotional service as aspired by Parikshit Maharaj, they also help you. Just see this devotee, because he showed, now the death has come, what else can I do? When he called first time to Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj, and he asked him, so how are you doing? He said, I'm doing fine. How is your wife? And he said, she's also happy, Maharaj. She's happy? How can she be happy in this condition? It's surprising. But because she's also taken it very nicely, he's also taken it very nicely, that attracted the attention of his spiritual master. And Maharaj told him, I'm very proud of you. When a disciple exhibits his character, he tolerates the suffering. A complaining disciple to the spiritual master is a headache. All the time if he goes with a complaint, this is my problem, that is my problem, and I'm creating problem to these devotees, I'm creating problem to that devotees. If that is our disposition, then such a disciple becomes a headache to the spiritual master. Therefore, as we were discussing, this is the landmark of devotional service. Nowhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna speaks about this as a landmark. He does not speak, one who performs great austerity of fasting, doing chaturmas, is a rightful heir to attain the spiritual world. In fact, in the 11th canto, the verse is there, one who fasts, next day his desire to eat becomes voracious. Because if you fasted full day, then even if you see a dry roti, you want to consume it. Just like we were doing Nirjal Ekadashi and I was in New York. And there was nothing available. And devotees, all the Western devotees, they fasted. And the dry bread, it was 2 days old. You know, they were looking because they had some other engagements. They could not prepare anything. So when the time came for breaking the fast, even the dry bread, which is so dry to eat, you know, they took it and that felt so nice. So even fasting, rather than helping us advance, simply increases our appetite to eat nice prasad. So that is not the criteria to advance in Krishna consciousness. One can perform tapasya and increase one's mode of passion. I was listening to one lecture of Radhanath Swami Maharaj. He was explaining One man came and he said, my guru is God. He said, why guru is God? Because my guru can transform his form. He can perform austerity. And then he said, it sounds like Hiranyakashipu and Ravan. Maharaj said, because even Hiranyakashipu and Ravan were doing this. So if your guru is like that, it sounds exactly like Ravan and Hiranyakashipu. How can he be God? So therefore, this verse is such a powerful verse. And therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he adds this as one of the 64 items of devotional service. For a sadhaka to practice this as one of the 64 items, what is that? Tat kripekshanam. Expecting the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Rupa Goswami quotes this verse, Tattenu Kampa. And it's a very beautiful purport written by Srila Prabhupada. So therefore, when we practice devotional service, technically we should know that prarabdha karma does not affect us. We should be convinced about that. And Rupa Goswami proves it by quoting different shastras. When we object, when we say, no, prarabdha karma still works. Sometimes devotees, want to go to the astrologers and see what is my prarabdha karma because prarabdha karma affects. No, that means we are not understanding the power of devotional service. Technically, we are completely convinced. The power of devotional service is so great that it is not going to affect me. I am freed from prarabdha karma. But since I am not a devotee, my devotional practice is not at all so great. I am nowhere close to being a devotee. Therefore, the prarabdha karma is going to affect me. He doesn't need to go to the astrologer. And so whatever comes to his life, how does he take it? He takes it as his previous sinful activities, which is his suffering in this life. And Srila Prabhupada, in different places of his writing and his talks, he explains how a devotee of the Lord in three ways overcomes one prarabdha karma. One way to overcome the prarabdha karma is direct. If you are suffering, experiencing the suffering, just like Vasudev leper, he was suffering his prarabdha karma. But by the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he could actually overcome the prarabdha karma in the present life. Now, prarabdha karma means which is completely manifesting. I may be a blind. I may be a leper. I may have a diseased body. And that, by the powerful grace of the Lord, it may happen that Krishna may relieve us from our disease in the form of blindness, in the form of being blind or lame. He can remove that. Krishna does it sometimes. He did with Kubja also. He did with Vasudeva leper also. He did with Sudama Brahman also. That is one way Krishna does it. And second way Krishna does, Srila Prabhupada, most of the time he quotes this one. When you suffer something in your life, recently one of our devotee, Radha Krishna Prabhu's son-in-law, he was standing on the divider. And he wanted to cross. When he was about to cross, the signal started. And then he moved, and at the same time the Volvo bus started moving. And he fell right in the front of the bus. And actually one of the tire ran over his leg. And the leg should have been separated from his body. But surprisingly, nothing happened to him except few fracture. And this is the sign where his neck was supposed to be separated. But what Krishna did, he minimized the suffering. Prabhupada talks about this most of the time. If there is some danger in your life, you actually experience that, you should always maximize it. Saying that if I was not a devotee, he gave the example, if your finger is cut, there is a small cut to your finger, how do you should take it? Oh, because I am a devotee, because I am practicing devotional service, today I am saved from a greatest disaster. Rather than being killed today, only little punishment has been given to me by Krishna. That is second way that one overcomes one prarabdha karma. Very little is given. Whatever comes to our life, if there is one cancer, one should consider one should have supposed to have 100 cancers. That's how minimize your suffering by your consciousness. And third way, which is the most important for a practicing devotee, is that is to try to see on a consciousness level. Krishna may not directly minimize our suffering. He may not change our suffering. But rather we continue to be what we are, but on a consciousness level, just like Avanti Brahman did, or just like Krishna request Arjuna to do, Matra Sparshastu Kauntaya, Shitoshna Sukha Dukkada, Agama Apayuna Nityastam Titikshaswa Bharata. One should learn to tolerate without being disturbed. So here Prabhupada, therefore Prabhupada uses the word bhunjanaha, means enduring. Actually bhunjana means to swallow. Actually bhunjana means to actually eat. Bhunja means to devour. So here bhunjana means to endure. So at least we should come to that extent where we learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. For the devotees like Prahlad Maharaj, not only they tolerate, tolerating is passive. But taking it as Krishna's mercy and glorifying Krishna is being super positive. Active. It is an active kind of tolerating. So only such a person, it's much easier to remember all the verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the pastimes of Krishna, and they charm our heart. But actually what will give us place in the spiritual world is this consciousness. This verse therefore is the landmark for a devotee. One can judge one's advancement in Krishna consciousness when we actually go through the suffering. And Prabhupada writes it very clearly, don't expect that suffering will not come to you. Every devotee in his life has to go through the suffering. If the suffering is not coming, then you should feel, my God, maybe I have to come more, I have to come again to this material world to suffer. When the suffering comes to our life, then we realize, okay, this is must be final life if I take shelter of Krishna. And therefore, this verse is such a powerful and such an important verse. It's the important verse for the practicing devotees to judge. It is like inventory. At the end of the day, when we close our account of our daily devotional service, when we reflect, how did I deal with different situations? The interaction with different devotees, how did I take it? Did I pass the test? Did I pass the situation of provoking situations by tolerating it? Or I reacted badly? Then what we have done, we have simply failed. I may have fasted, I may have chanted, but that day I failed in my being that level of devotee. So therefore, Brahmaji is speaking here that once realizing Krishna's greatness in the form of his opulence and sweetness, and knowing that Krishna is the well-wisher of all the living entities, tatte. Therefore, in that condition, the disposition of the heart of a devotee is that he should learn to tolerate everything with folding hands, with his words, body and heart. And such a devotee of the Lord becomes a rightful heir to attain the spiritual planet of Krishna Loka. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes, Krishna Kishore Prabhu.
Spoke of how one should see if things come in one's own life, that maybe I'm not yet a devotee or the suffering is token, etc. But how does one see in case it comes to other senior people for whom none of these may be applicable? They may be performing devotional service very, very strongly. So obviously all their previous whatever actions are there, that is all burnt out. So how does one see for them?
Yeah, this question was raised when Tamal Krishna Maharaj, we were there. One of his disciple, had to do this task, which is like a heavy burden in his heart for the rest of his life. That he had to remove that body of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, which was totally you know, meshed in the accident, and he was seeing him leave his body. And this question was always hitting him hard. He said, why my Guru Maharaj had to go through this? Why he had to go through such a suffering? He dedicated his life. He took such an hard difficulties to propagate Krishna consciousness. Most impossible task. So why Krishna did like that? That was all the time hurting him. So, you know, we went to Jayadvaita Maharaj, asking him, Maharaj, why Krishna did like that? And Jayadvaita Maharaj gave twofold answers. One is, he said, death can come anyway. He said, for a devotee, he is not sentimental to say that he died peacefully. Death is not peaceful. He said, death is always gruesome. Either you die peacefully, still there is the bite of 40,000 scorpions. Recently, when Krishnananda Prabhu was in the place, Madhavendrapuri's place, Kirchor Gopinath, he was stung by one scorpion. And he was thinking, what will happen when the 40,000 scorpion bite me? So he was taking shelter of Hare Krishna. He gave a very nice class recently, and he was talking about this. Huh? And because he was chanting constantly, he always chants as if he has been bitten by a scorpion. So that was ecstasy for him. So the pain was there. So Jayadvaita Maharaj said, he said, it is sentimental on the part of us to expect that a devotee should die a nice death where he is lying and there is a heart attack. And secondly, he said, one should see these services rendered by him. He has died like a warrior. Like Abhimanyu, when he was killed, it was more gruesome than the death. You know, all the big, big warriors, and they were not even rightful warriors. They were sinful people. They attacked him from all directions. And they killed him. It was a gruesome death. So therefore, he said, one should know it is the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should know that he has been called for higher service. So when you are called for a higher service in emergency, there has to be an emergency exist. It cannot be a normal thing. So that was how he was narrating. So when something happens to other than ourselves, we should not see that as prarabdha karma. We should see it as the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, you know, devotees are wondering, how can he claim, you know, some devotees are wondering, how can he claim that I am taking in the mood of Vasudev Dutt? It is the sign of kind of an arrogance, it may appear like that. But if you read regularly what he would speak, he would say 99% I am suffering because of my own misdeeds. Many times he told that. 99% whatever suffering is going through is because of my own misdeeds. Only 1% if there was anything in my devotional service, that is, I want to be in the mood of Vasudev Dutt. So that is how a devotee takes. 99% is my own prarabdha karma. I am suffering. And 1% is, you know, if there is a devotional service, then I want to be in that mood. So when we see others going through that, and if we condemn some devotees, unfortunately, they say, just see how Tamal Krishna Maharaj is being punished. They are opening their destination to hell by talking like that. Even if they have rendered devotional service, if they speak like that to somebody who has dedicated so much to Srila Prabhupada, to say that, you know, he is suffering because of his reactions, that's a biggest Vaishnava aparadha you could ever perform. So when something happens with other devotees, one should know that it is all because of their strong desire to attain Krishna, and Krishna is arranging for them to happen like that. If he is our subordinate, if we are preaching to him, we can preach to him what consciousness he should have. If our subordinate suffers something, you know, it may be difficult for him to accept it is all Krishna's arrangement, because again he'll say, what is this? Why Krishna does like that? Then we have to preach what we want to have the consciousness. You have to take it as your prarabdha karma. Like in the Bible, the story of Joe is there. Joe was tested by Satan, and the Lord you know, in the biblical text, it is always shown that Satan can come and challenge God. He said, okay, I will test your devotee. And then he said, okay, you go and test him. As long as you don't harm your body, I don't mind you testing him. So Satan comes and he takes everything away from Joe and loses everything, but still he glorifies the Lord. And the Satan comes, oh, that's very easy. As long as one's own self is there, even if somebody loses everything, he can still work hard and get it. If you want to prove of his real devotion, let me harm on his body. And Lord says, okay, you can harm his body, but don't kill him. And the Satan attacks. He creates unlimited pain. And then Joe, you know, he says, I'm so righteous, why God is doing to me? His friends come and preach to him. You should understand, because you're sinful, you know, you're suffering this. But he does not agree with them. He fights with them. He becomes angry with them. And the Lord appears. And he chastises Joe. He says, that you think you know everything about your life? More than I know? If you are saying that you have never done sin, that means you are saying that you know more than I know. So similarly, when we say, I have not done anything, why God is doing to me? That means we are the better judge than God. No, Krishna is the best judge. Karmana Daiva Netrane is watching us what we are doing. Even the good, what we do, may not be good. Our perception is so limited, is so small one. You know, sometimes we speak something to a devotee with good intentions, but our good intentions are wrongly placed and we hurt devotees. Like Rupa Goswami, that story is there. He had no intention of offending anybody. He was watching some pastime of Krishna pulling the trunk of a tree and all the gopis are trying to grab some flowers. And Krishna pulled it down and let it go. So all the gopis, you know, they almost fell down. And Rupa Goswami, when he saw this pastime, he was laughing. And one Vaishnava, who was kind of, you know, was not able to walk properly. He had some, you know, curves on his body. And Rupa Goswami smiled at the same time when he was walking. And that devotee felt, see, you know, Rupa Goswami is such a great devotee, but he's laughing at me. And immediately Rupa Goswami stopped saying the pastime. And Rupa Goswami was wondering, what happened? Did I offend any devotees? And he couldn't find anybody. That is the level of Vaishnava Aparad. Just see. So therefore, it's very important in our devotional life that we become more and more sensitive and very careful while seeing the suffering of other devotees. Not to take it as their own reaction. Philosophically, yes, Krishna sometime to some devotees, you know, we see them, they have stopped practicing devotional service and Krishna smashes them very badly and they are still not able to take it. That we can say, just see, Krishna is giving him a chance. He's smashing him. He's giving him a misery. We can go and tell them, you know, look, take shelter of Krishna. Sometimes you see that some devotees have received so much of mercy, but they misuse that mercy. And for us to recognize that, we should not do like that. Krishna also gives some kind of glimpses to us. That we can see it, but we don't offend them. We take it, oh, we're suffering because he is misusing the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I may not do like that. That consciousness has to be there. Any other question?
You were telling about Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami. One of the 64 items is that expecting mercy of the Lord. So in that connection, I was hearing one lecture from His Holy Radharani Maharaj. So he was telling that to degree we expect from devotee and his and Lord and his devotee, that degree will frustrate it. So how?
Expectation. That expectation is different than the expectation of mercy. I don't know in what context you are speaking. The expectation may be attention from devotees. Now we want attention for small things. I also heard in different lectures, when there is too much of expectation, oh, he should give me time and he is not giving me time, Guru is not giving me time, And the degree you are expecting more, that degree you are frustrated. Sometimes devotees say, you know, we don't get the association of my spiritual master. There is great desire to associate, but they don't get, so there is a frustration. But that is not what Rupa Goswami is talking here. That is completely different. It is on the association of Guru on a physical platform is material. It has no spiritual significance. Unless you take his word seriously, I think here only when Niranjan Maharaj and Radhana Swami had come, he asked him that question. How much association did you get of Srila Prabhupada? So that's a different context you are talking about. Here the context is that we are expecting the mercy of the Lord by tolerating the suffering. You become rightful here simply by going through the disposition of folding your hands and saying that it is all because of my own misdeeds of my previous life and continuing to perform misdeeds. And therefore, I am not experiencing devotional service. In the 11th canto, Uddhav was told by the Lord, aspiring devotee, one who cannot give up sense gratification, what is his? Therefore, a devotee, one who is engaged in sense gratification, worse than a karmi, is still better. Why? Because karmi, a non-devotee of the Lord, when he is engaged in sense gratification, he enjoys it. And the devotee of the Lord, even though he is engaged in sense gratification, he knows in the heart of his heart that this is not good. I am such a nasty person, I am not able to give up. So therefore he condemns himself. And Krishna glorifies such person also. He is not a high devotee, but is better than a non-devotee. The best devotee is that he does not put Krishna to take care of us. No, he takes care of himself when he engages in devotional service. Yesterday we discussed that the higher kind of devotee is one who, even though Krishna is source of all opportunities, by practicing pure devotional service, he becomes the provider of Krishna. So as a Gaudiya Vaishnavas, as the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we don't want to be simply be purified. We don't want to simply expect mercy of the Lord. Rather, we want to be the servant of our spiritual master. We sing every day in the morning, Nikunjayona Ratikeli Siddha. What is it? The spiritual master is assisting his spiritual master in rendering service to Radha and Krishna. So we are offering that prayer. So where is the question of enjoying separately? But because we are conditioned soul, you know, our devotional service is not so pure. So these material desires, they come. And they sometimes they grab us. But even if something happens like that, one should not lose conviction. One should not say, what is this? I practiced 2 years chanting 16 rounds. Still material desires are not going. Better let me enjoy. No, that is not correct. So that is the difference. That expecting mercy and expecting attention, they are two different things. You stand here and expect Krishna to reveal you. That is material thing. But you expect mercy in the form of learning the art of tolerating the difficulties in your life. Then the flowers will be shot by the demigods to take you back to the spiritual world. They are different. Yes?
Hare Krishna. Puji, we see these examples as an individual person following, like ours is preaching movement. So preaching and management, sometimes we say that Uttamadhikari platform, we have to come to the Madhyamadhikari. So previously these acharyas, they always used to have these natural qualities. So for preaching and like institutional tolerance is there. So how we can, sometimes we say that this is a mercy of Lord. Devotee may say that. We say that it's not mercy of Lord. It's our own fault. So we have to see the faults of devotees for managing and preaching. So we have to compromise with the qualities, or what exactly that thing is?
Now, therefore, management is a temporary thing. And your constitutional position is eternal thing. So when we give greater importance to the management over the constitutional nature, then that creates an incompatible situation. Ultimately, we we have to know that even though on a circumstance, on a relative situation, we may have to take a decision where we punish somebody, but if you enjoy that, then that is a big problem to your spiritual progress. You have to be greatly cautious. It is better to give the benefit of doubt rather than always looking. Sometimes as a manager, there is a tendency that we are always looking faults and then trying to rectify it. And therefore our constitutional nature is covered over. What is the constitutional nature? The constitutional nature is that just like our acharyas, our spiritual masters are compassionate. How many times? Srila Prabhupada was asked by one devotee, Prabhupada, how many times do you forgive this devotee? He is doing so many nonsense. I said, as many times he does mistake, that many times I will forgive. That was Srila Prabhupada. He said. But at the same time, he also would take very strong decisions. He, what to speak of forgiving sannyasis, he kicked them out of ISKCON. He said, get out of this place. He said, you are out and you prove yourself and then you can come back to ISKCON. In 1976 this happened. But that was again, that was a temporary manifestation of his anger. So therefore, it is explained the mood of Yamaraj is the external of a devotee, but the mood of Lord Nityanand is the internal part of a devotee, because he is also expecting the mercy. If you don't forgive others, then how do you expect that others will forgive you? If your object of, if you are always making others object of your anger, then Yamaraj is there. So therefore, I always tell this, but I have not read it anywhere, but somebody told me, angry devotees become the representative of Yamaraj. They also given some service. You want some service? Yamaraj is also serving. Yamaraj is a pure devotee and pure devotees need some assistance. So they are sent to the hellish planet. Go and serve there. So therefore those who are, the temple managers. I am also a temple manager. So Prabhupada explains in the one purport. He said, always remember GBC is that Vidura was Yamaraj and he was cursed to become a Shudra. So one should know, one has to be very flexible. The interest of the institution is there and the interest of a devotee is also there. It has to be very sensitively dealt. Sometimes as managers we tend to take pleasure in punishing somebody, take enjoyment. And it has happened in ISKCON many times, especially the temple commanders. Because they have the position of commanding. They becomes to such an extent, grab the collar of devotee and give him unreasonable services and tell him about surrender, but they are enjoying giving suffering to him. And they don't last long. They become hard-hearted. Therefore, only the sensitive person who handles this both, he is quite flexible. He avoids punishment. Again, he is not sentimental. In the first canto of the Bhagavatam, when Ashwatthama was being punished, Draupadi is saying, no, release him, don't punish him. And Bhima is saying, isko mardo, finish him off. And therefore Krishna had to extend two more hands, stopping Draupadi also and Bhima also. And Prabhupada writes there, Draupadi has a good intentions, but that doesn't mean that you become non-discriminative. One has to still take the action. So therefore, when there is a need to protect the interest of the society, if I make some mistake, and if my mistake is not going to harm the society, or large number of devotees, then there is no point in punishing him. Just reprimand him, warn him. But if my mistake is going to disturb the entire society to such a large extent, then for the sake of devotees, it is very much required. Rather than protecting his interest, to protect the interest of devotees, he has to be reprimanded. So it all, there is no, prototype. It is based upon different circumstances, person to person and situation to situations. Otherwise, ultimately, our bhakti goes beyond the structures of the institution. The whole purpose of institution is to create that consciousness. Institution is not to choke the consciousness of pure devotional service. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in the story of Putanavad. Every devotee should read that commentary on Putanavad and how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur compares Putana to be an institution which chokes the progressive understanding of devotional life. He compares it to false guru and he compares it to the churches which are very narrow-minded. And devotional service is not like that. So institution is there to create that facility where our ongoing spiritual progress is realized. Yes, Radhishyam Prabhu. Comment. You can comment also, my faults.
Hare Krishna. In the Chitraketu section, there is one particular verse where when Chitraketu comes down from the plane and he is conversing with Parvati, you know. So in that he is telling her that if you think, you know, if you think that I committed this mistake and you wanted to curse me, it is all right. But actually I would like to tell you that I didn't do the mistake. That is one point he says. Another point he says is that both you and me are under the control of superior nature, something like that. And, you know, overcome by the will of providence, you know, you have cursed me, like that. So these two, three statements I read, at least to my conditioned mind, it appeared that, you know, it is a sign of audacity and a sign of intolerance, you know. Real tolerance means, you know, you don't unnecessarily clarify, you know. He is trying to clarify in such a way that he is trying to tell her that actually I am not at fault. If you still want to curse me, you can curse me. So this doesn't seem to be the kind of... Actually in Bhagavatam and we read different pastimes. In different pastimes you see different levels of tolerance. Like you nicely quoted many examples today. Like Jadabharat also becomes a little, you know, angry when he's carrying the palanquin. Here I find Chitraketu also, you know, he is trying to prove that he is not wrong. So to try to prove or justify that I am not wrong also is a sign of intolerance or insubordination. Is it not? That was my question.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. I remember reading that. There is not much commentary given by acharyas, but yeah, we can, again, just to make it more and more refined in our understanding. It's a great point. Therefore, Avanti Brahman, that's what I was mentioning, his understanding is so high, which rarely anybody can practice. Therefore, Krishna personally quoting that story, which happened in many, many millennium years ago, not the immediate story, but Krishna is quoting that story, where you could see, actually nobody caused me any suffering, it is my mind only. Yes, even justification that I did not do it, is also a sign of kind of an arrogance that I remember, you know, when something would happen when I was serving my spiritual master. He said, if you justify, then I will not correct you. That was the answer. If you justify, there is no correction. If you don't justify, if there is an argument, then a spiritual master becomes a little reserved. Why should I correct him? They are not after trying to prove they are right and you are wrong. It's always the case. We should know that. They are always right and we are wrong. And on top of that, even knowing that philosophy, if you go and try to rectify, they say, okay, this person is stubborn. If I try to prove him that you are wrong, he might completely give up devotional service. And then they allow, okay. No. Okay, whatever way you want to handle, whatever way you want to deal. No. Sometimes some devotees are really possessive of their guru. Everything I have to do it. So such people are simply tolerated by the spiritual master. So it's a very important point that Chitraketu Maharaj, of course, is great. From our estimation, you know, we can't even imagine his greatness to our limit, our insignificant understanding of Krishna consciousness. But because we're analyzing this story, you know, therefore, this verse where there is no objection, simply fold your hands. It has come as my previous karma, I'm going to suffer it. And then Avanti Brahman says, you know, it's all the mind. Therefore, it is explained, you make a choice of suffering or not suffering. Nobody can cause the suffering unless you choose to suffer. Such a nice statement. Unless I decide to suffer, like that Socrates story is there, very light story. His wife was quite a scene for him. He was a philosopher. And no wife likes a philosopher who is not a practical person. So she would always curse him. She would, you know, give bad words to him. One time his friend came and from inside she was rumbling, giving all kinds of bad words, and he didn't give any attention. And she threw all the water from the, you know, pot on the face of Socrates. And his friend was scared. What is this? He said, now it was rumbling, now it's raining. So Socrates could take it like that. And he mentions, Socrates also mentioned that if you get a good wife, then you are fortunate. If you don't get one, then you become a philosopher. So both way, again, he's taking it in a both way, in a positive only. If you get good one, you are happy. If you don't get one, you are a philosopher. So no loss in both way. So that is his approach. He's a Brahmavadi, he's a Jnani. Jnani means what? To see how it helps you in your advancement of knowledge. So Jnanis are also good, where they can see everything as part of the plan. Nothing is actually everything. One disciple of Srila Prabhupada's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you know, he was mentioning that everything is planned in such a way that it is going towards the ultimate destination of spiritual Golok Vrindavan. And if you obstruct that by objecting, then you are obstructing the plan of the Lord for you to go back to Godhead. So everything is harmonious in the material world if you are a devotee of the Lord. Therefore, I forgot to mention. Now Krishna concludes and establishes how material world is place of misery. What is that? Janma mrutu jara vyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam. Anityam asukam lokam. Krishna explains. And his devotee Prabodhananda Saraswati says, Vishwam puranam sukayate. Just see that he is contradicting the words of Krishna. Krishna says world is full of misery, but Prabodhananda Saraswati, seeing the plan of the Lord, misery is also planned by Lord. So because he sees like that, he says, because I am seeing it like that, the misery is also plan of Krishna, and therefore for me, Vishwam Puranam Sukhayate, the whole material manifestation is full of unlimited happiness. Why? Because I am experiencing the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, only devotees by their power of devotional service, they can contradict the technicalities of this Shastra. The mundane people, when you told them there is a misery, I said there is no misery. People are suffering. They will not accept they are miserable. One medical student, I know very graphically this story. He was so talkative and so challenging. You know, this was when he was from JJ, a medical student. And the discussion was going on in regards to karma. And he was telling his, how God is so illogical that I suffer in my last lifetime and I am given suffering in this lifetime. He was trying to be more intelligent than God. And then he was saying that, you know, I don't suffer, I'm enjoying. And some other, I don't know what, that day, rather than giving explanation to him, you know, Radhananda Maharaj told him, just wait for some time. You will get your dose also. He didn't give him, he elaborated for some time, but by seeing his, you know, too much of challenging nature, he said, just wait for some time, get your dose. And still now he's suffering. Within 1 year when he was studying, his father passed away. And he became so diseased. His medical situation became very bad. He could not get into post-graduation. And while he was doing his internship, he was suffering from so many diseases. And he always regrets, why did I ask that question? He always requests, why did I ask that question? And again, Maharaj didn't mean like that. Just suddenly it came out. Again, Krishna inspired him to speak like that. Not that he was cursing him. He said, just wait, you'll get your quota. I graphically remember that. And I've seen him being so arrogant. He became so small and so insignificant. He realized that. And I think he tells others also, don't ever ask this question that, you know, I'm not suffering. Because everybody has to get their quota of suffering. And if you challenge that I'm not suffering, he's the biggest fool. At least Krishna is merciful to him. He has made him to realize you are suffering. So therefore, the whole material manifestation is full of suffering. But if you experience the mercy of Krishna, then you can contradict Krishna. That's okay, there is no suffering. You force Krishna to contradict. Kaviraj Goswami explains again, Krishna says, yathamam prapadyante. That as one surrender runs to me, I reciprocate. But the bhaktas, the devotees of the Lord, by their devotional service, Kaviraj Goswami explains, Krishna could not maintain these words of his in the Bhagavad Gita. And therefore, what did he say? Na pareyam. He said, I have nothing to offer back. Be satisfied with your own devotional service. If Krishna is offering something back to us, that means he has something to offer and our devotional service is not significant. If you become a temple president or if you become big, if you become a sannyasi, if you get a followers and if it's all Krishna's mercy. Yes, it is Krishna's mercy, but your devotional service is not significant. Where Krishna is not telling you that be satisfied with your own devotional service. That I told that story of a devotee was distributing books in Chicago. Then he gave up and he was only wanting money. I want only money. What I want is money. What I want is money. He would walk back and forth chanting not Hare Krishna but this mantra. And he got his money. His parents had to die. There was an accident. They crashed in the same airport where he was walking back and forth. He got all the hair of his parents but not devotional service. So Krishna may give us wealth. Krishna may give us prestige. Krishna may give us big, big position, even up to the level of becoming guru. But he may not say that be satisfied with your own devotional service. That is the greatest benediction Krishna can offer. Unless we are satisfied with our own devotional service, approved by our authorities, then we will keep hankering even while practicing devotional life. And we can exhibit that dissatisfaction. Sometime, unfortunately in our society also, you know, people, just to remove them from one position, the society has to give them higher position. Just see, if they are some kind of president, and then to remove them from their position, then you have to give them some higher position. Okay, get out of this place. No, no, I cannot. Then okay, you become some kind of a secretary. Just see. So even, it's not so easy. It may happen to us also. You know, we are different department heads. And when the time comes, okay, now you remove this, you give up this. And we may not want to give up. And so that our authority, just so that we don't make damage in that department where we are supposed to be kicked out, literally. But because they are merciful, they say, okay, we don't kick you out. You know, what do you do? We will give you a higher position and we are satisfied. Just see, my devotional service is so great, I am making progress. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj in 1986, or I don't know exactly when, he wrote a Vyas Puja offering, making this point only. How have I made tremendous progress, being from John Favor to Ghanashyam Brahmachari, distributed books, then became a leader, then became a sannyasi, then became a GBC, then became a guru. But Krishna, you know, he's as if he's having a conversation with Paramatma, and Paramatma is saying, but are you satisfying me? So therefore, real satisfaction is when Krishna and our spiritual master are satisfied with to say that I'm satisfied with your devotional service, and be satisfied with devotional service. Don't ask any byproducts of practicing devotional service. Very high. Therefore, it's much easier to go to the demigods. You ask something from them, they will give you, and go to another demigods. And therefore, most populous is after demigod worship. It's very difficult to come to Krishna, because Krishna means purification starts, the surgery starts. You know, he starts chipping off all the anarthas. We are like rock, you know, crude rock. And if you want to make a deity out of rock, the sculptor has to chisel. He has to take a chiseling instrument and chisel. And chiseling is not very pleasing. Cutting off all the anarthas is very painful. And doesn't stop there. When you go and see Jaipur, you know, the person is sculpting, he steps on it. He takes the machine and makes a square. And then he starts chiseling it. And it has a crude form. It looks like a deity then, but it's a crude form. Then he takes a polishing instrument. And day after day is polishing. And polishing is like rubbing all of our anarthas. And it is very painful. And after polishing everything, when it is almost ready, there is always that assumption. This sculptor, the Murtiwala, will say that I don't guarantee that the whole marble will be white. There may be some black spot. After polishing everything, you'll find right on the face, where this is the best part, on the cheek there is a big black spot. That means you have polished everything, and then we realize there is a big anartha right on our heart, right on the face. Then what? So therefore it's not an easy job. It's a very difficult one. Therefore devotional service, as Narad Muni explained, Krishna will give mukti. Because mukti means, again, it is separated from God, separated from Krishna. But giving bhakti means giving oneself to a devotee. And therefore Krishna does not offer it very easily. Therefore Devamrita Prabhu, I was in Vrindavan recently, he told one story. I'll conclude with that story. Badri Narayan Prabhu, very humorous class giver. He was giving class in Mayapur and Devamrita was sitting and listening. And Devamrita is a very grave person. He does not laugh for small reason. And he heard his story. He said, I was laughing all the time, full day. The story was, Badri Narayan Prabhu's mother, when he was full-time devotee, she came to stay with him in the temple. And he stayed for a few days. And she was a very observant lady. She stayed there without talking to anybody, just interacting with some devotees now and then. And after the end of her tour, when she was going back, she called Badri Narayan Prabhu. And she said, he said, this is the best place to make a novel because you have got all kinds of character. She said, ISKCON is the best place to make a novel because you'll get all kinds of character. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shraddha Kunja Bihari ki.